I'm Harry Hendricks. Some of you know that by now. And I work on the national staff of the Americas in Church. What I want to do tonight and for the rest of the week is really build on what I have previously talked about, and that is life together in community. But the framework out of which I am going to be talking specifically in the next this and the next four sessions is the Caring Community Project. Some of you may have heard about that. It's a project of the American Lutheran Church that basically I've developed and written the materials for. I began working on it in 1970 in the parish I served in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and have since now it's a part of the American Lutheran Church's program. The Caring Community is basically think of a instead of the Sunday morning being the focal point of where life together in community is experienced, it is a gathering of 35 to 70 people. And the reason for that number, we originally got it out of just research in anthropology, which basically says that the largest size of the extended family or clan is 50 to 70 people. So we're talking 35 to 70. And that means that that's about the maximum number of folks that you can get to know on a very personal level. That's one component, 35 to 70 people. The next thing, picture in your mind that being an intergenerational group of people. I mean, it's from kids to elderly. That's a very important part of it. Children are essential ingredient as well as elderly. So it's across the board. It's not just kids and elderly, it's the whole range. Because there's a lot of intergenerational stuff going on nowadays that just has elderly getting together with kids or vice versa. I'm talking about the whole range of persons of all ages. The third component is that this community gathers for 2 hours a week. And each week for 6 to 9 months. That means that people have agreed to spend a particular block of time together, the same people, during that period of time. Now, the fourth component is using the liturgy during that two-hour period in a little different way than what we usually think of it as on Sunday morning. And it's that first component of liturgy is what I want to talk about tonight. Which, when we first gather as a people of God, we announce we gather in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you say, Amen. Yeah. Now, that term or that phrase, where does that have its root in our earlier experience? Huh? When did you first hear that phrase? Probably, if you were baptized, I'm going to give you a clue. As a child, you know, those words you first heard associated with your name at your baptism. It's very important. So when we associate, and I like to use it this way. In vocation, it is a very clear connection to your baptism. So there's no getting away from the fact that the reason we are together as a people of God and the framework, the beginning of which we come together, grows out of our baptism experience. Any questions about that so far? Let's dig a little into what is the experience of baptism for us, not just back there, but what is it that was going on within that community where your baptism took place, and when those words were spoken and the whole congregation said, what? Amen. Huh? What is the first thing that comes to mind that is the action that is declared here by this community of people.
Wash away your sins.
What?
Wash away your sins.
In a sense, that could only happen by being in relationship, in a sense, a new declared relationship with God in Christ. Yes.
I believe.
Pardon?
I believe.
I believe more in an action that says to believe in a creator God means that for who? Does that make now some new sense? That we are conscious now about being in the presence of a God who creates, and who has created whom?
All of us.
All of us. And particularly this individual person who now we are very conscious of having been given a name by God. Named. Goes back to the roots of when God created, what was one of the things that they first did? They named all the animals and everything. Yeah. Particularizing God's creation. So one of the actions is that this community now very particularly names this person. And it's not just what a family name gets laid on somebody, but it really is very clear in the early church that it was really a way that God names. Now, Paul talks in Ephesians that we were named before the foundations of the world. Okay? Now, that's a kind of a interesting perspective, you know, that it's at this event where that naming of God's creation, which is us particularly, is now focused and that name is now given. Okay, that's one action. Another action would be, if we talk about the Creator God, what else do we say? We're baptized in the name of a God who is to be baptized into the Lordship of Christ. Now, let's play with that a little bit. What comes to mind when you begin to realize that that we're baptized into this kind of a kingdom, this kind of relationship in Christ? How do you picture that in the moment of that event and in an ongoing way?
Belonging.
Say more.
You're one of a larger family now.
Yeah. How does that happen?
Acceptance. Well, don't we welcome them into the family of God when they're baptized?
Yeah.
I think we die to our physical bodies, and as we descend into the waters of baptism and arise as a part of the body of Christ.
There's a strong tradition behind it. A couple with a baby will have it baptized for the family from which it has arisen, or we're not, we'll say, religious people per se.
Mm-hmm.
They want that much done now anyway.
Mm-hmm. So in a sense, to follow both of those, in the baptism of Jesus, was it necessary for Jesus to be cleansed?
No.
You don't think so? Mm-hmm. Why was he baptized?
He thought so.
What was the action going on there?
He wanted to be baptized by John.
The Spirit coming.
Yeah. Here he heard John the Baptist thundering about God's judgment. And he said, I'm next in line. To being a part of what was this new kingdom to come that John was talking about, wasn't it? And so the symbol, the action of there's something has to die before something new happens. Something has to be drowned in a sense for some kind of new relationship to take place in us. And all it talks about, basically it says in Mark's gospel, that the Holy Spirit entered into him. And in a sense, it's very important for us to recognize that not only do we acknowledge that we're part of God's creation, but baptized now into this Jesus who lived as a human being, who died and rose again. Now we literally are joined to that body, that kingdom. And it's, to tack on to what you were saying, Emil, is that it's very important for us consciously as family to let go of. It's no longer my kid. I mean, there is to be a death, a separation, you know, from being just a person, just another part of God's creation, but consciously let go of to be a part of a new kingdom, a new community, a new relationship. You recognize that? I mean, Jesus said, you know, hey, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to set, you know, father against mother, son against daughter, and so forth, to kind of say, hey, there's a different relationship that's primary than even your biological family. You're baptized into that kind of a kingdom, that kind of a relationship. Paul talks about being baptized into a body where we are now joined to each other. That's part of the thing that when we talk about community, it's not something that we build. It is something that we acknowledge by a gift of God, and we are called forth not to live it out. Further, we acknowledge in baptism that we are also given the gift of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus, in his baptism, the Spirit entered into him. So that we have a sense in which what Luther says, that, you know, that the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens the whole church. And so in a real sense, it's important that we acknowledge that God has given us our name, that we're joined to a community that also has a particular name of God. All right? And how often do you begin to think of your name just being a kind of a name tag? Ever thought of it that way? Given a name tag? Kind of external, isn't it? Oh, I know Emil and I know Frank and do you? I may have seen you a few times. But when we're talking about being baptized into community, from where does God call us? Where does God know you?
From the beginning. Just
outside or from inside, kind of deep inside? I need to connect it back again to that Psalm 139, where this God that this psalmist talks about is the one who knit together the tissues of your body inside your mother's womb. I like the knitters here. Reminds me of that. Yeah. I mean, it's marvelous that this God we're baptized into also knows the thoughts before they enter our mind. That just blows me away a little bit. No? Okay. Now, if we then are baptized into a community, and that's the arena, creation of ourselves, all that there is about us, personalized from deep inside, that we are now connected to each other from the start, we don't have to create that. And that's already happened. I mean, that's our baptism's history, right? Now, when we gather together, does God call us together? Why do we come together? See, so many times I've heard the use of the word invocation, that it's us calling upon God, which may be what we do. But doesn't that seem a little bit almost presumptuous? Because God is already where? Yeah. I mean, does God take his leave or her leave? No. Does God ever quit the creation action? Does God ever, that kingdom, does that ever kind of flip out and so forth? I don't think so. See, I'd rather for us to begin to be conscious of the fact that if we have any sense of that we are the body of Christ, can you possibly imagine being the body of Christ by yourself? It's impossible. It'd be as like saying, you know, cutting off your finger and holding your finger up and saying, ain't this a nice body? It just doesn't make sense. The early church just would find it incomprehensible. So life together in community is absolutely essential if we have any sense of what it is that is the ground of, especially of the New Testament witness, that says that of all these promises of our baptism that we come together with now. So I'd like to ask, when we get together now, in the name of a Creator God, a Lord of a kingdom that is present now, and a Spirit that calls us together, and we say amen to that, what have we agreed to now? Not just what's the promise from back there, but what's the agreement when we get together in invocation? We'd say in the formula of our baptism, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. That is, amen means what? What? That you agree. What have you agreed to? What have you agreed to for now? Between us. What have you agreed to?
Meeting in the name of the Triune God.
Meeting in that name. What's the content of that?
We are the body.
Yes. Yes.
Praise.
Is this the body of Christ here?
Yes.
What makes it the body of Christ?
Believers gathered together.
As individuals, do we acknowledge that there is now, we're going to agree, that there is a connection between us?
Yes.
That we don't have to create. Now, does that connection, does that go beyond age? Take the fifth amendment. Yeah. How about kids? Are kids really embraced as we being an essential part of the body?
Yes.
It was interesting when we worked with 20 congregations over a 3.5 year period, working in this smaller intergenerational groups. Every one of the groups, the biggest question and concern was, what are we going to do with those kids? Those kids. The assumption was obviously what?
They didn't know their father.
Yeah. And you press it, there is obviously a pecking order as to what it is, what is you contribute to the community is the essential thing. And there is obviously assumption is that someone can pass the judgment on whether or not you can contribute or not. I mean, that's really crazy.
a better place to teach the kids.
Yeah. Interesting thing was, when we had to press and keep their foot in the fire on this one, is when the community began to discover the kids are people, the whole community changed. Because then all of a sudden, they had to look at themselves and each other as being people. And not just, if you start with just for kids, it applies to who? You're just a what? You're just an elderly person? You're just a woman? You're just a banker? You're just a... Yeah, I'm just... But to say it, that we are part of a community of persons, which from our baptism it says that, am I committed and open? Do I agree that I'm joined to you, not just on the surface, but on the inside? Huh?
What about the kids' attitude?
Oh, the kids probably are more sensitive to what the communication is than most of us elderly. Yeah. Most of us, even by my age, are more heartened, or we have been bruised enough so we get run by us past the sensitivities. Communication is what, 7% is it actual verbal? Most of it is inflection. Most of it's body language. And kids will get the message real quick. If the kid's standing by and you just walk by them and just talk to the adults, what message have you given them? Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of experiences where in this one, we had to really work at acknowledging, is this kingdom, is this connection between us as persons, or is it by roles, or is it by levels? Yeah. What else do you think we've agreed to? In this name of this Creator God, this kingdom, this spirit. That we are joined to each other. Yeah. Just while we're in here, who else are we joined to?
Our work, in our workplace.
Okay. Very important. That really is opens it up, doesn't it? In our baptism, we are joined to God's creation, not just with the cozy folks in our community, but to who else? Yeah. And so all of a sudden, the agenda for what goes on in the community is not just limited inside of what the folks are in here. And the goal doesn't become how cozy we can be with each other, but it stretches out to be a much larger arena out into the world. I mean, think of it this way. We constantly make the reference from our baptism that we began with the name that we are. So inside this community, we have some work to do, don't we? If we're all given a name, a baptized name, or we have a name that they were given, what is the first work we need to be doing? Do we have to know each other by name?
The name becomes the person.
Yeah. So there's obviously. You can't expand that. That's one reason why the size of the community is rather important. Name, being called by name, is a very, very important action. Especially if we have a sensitivity that God is calling me through you. And that when I call on somebody, when a kid calls on you, I mean, it is in a sense God calling you. God calling you to a vocation. To that person. So we have to begin to work at this as well as saying that God calls me to a vocation to care for myself from deep inside lifelong. What have I agreed to there? What do you think? If we get together out of our baptism and we basically take the responsibility that I have a vocation to care for myself, what does that include?
Responsibility where you bring up the children and the activity in your community and the larger group.
But let's say first, what does that mean with how you deal with yourself?
Well, I said love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, you have to love yourself before you can love your neighbor.
Okay. Is that part of now your vocation, to care for and be you?
Well, that's what I was assuming.
Now, if we took that seriously, what would we include in that? What kind of things?
Physical health.
Yeah. Part of you to take care of your body. Attitudes about your body. I do some work in chemical health treatment and a lot of issues in family life. And the bottom line for any kind of treatment is, if you don't have a healthy sense of your own self and have a support community for being you, you're not gonna be, in a sense, well or healthy. There's just no way. And what amazes me was when I deal with some of those issues in congregations, they say, well, how is that our business? And I have to go right back here, you know, to when you gather an invocation, what's the content of that for you as a congregation calling forth the individual responsibility to care for self from each person? So is it an agenda how we eat, how we exercise, how we take care of ourselves? Is that part of our vocation?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's
too, wouldn't you think?
Pardon?
Vulnerability, openness to other people.
Oh yeah. That's all related to how well we have a sense of accepting ourselves. Can we be open to other people? I mean, it's like what we were talking about. It's that from deep inside, you know, God knows and calls us into being who we are. Does that make sense? Let's take it a step further. Somebody already got onto it. Do you have a vocation now to be you to, let's say, to a household? Well, this is getting dry here. To a household. I don't say family at this point, because for many people, I'm not even sure what people image that to be anymore. You know, some it's an extended family, some it's a, you know, it's a nuclear family, and for some they don't have a nuclear family. So I say household. It's really, we have a vocation to the in a sense, the folks that we really live with closely, and in my particular case, that's my family. But it would be Joan and I, we've been together for 27 years in my case. Picture in your mind what yours is. If you would draw in a sense a card, I could do it in symbols. This is Joan and I. This is our little dog, Tasha, because that's part of our household. Probably runs a damn place. Probably. And there's three kids who I still consider part of the household, but two of them in New York City, and one's off in college. But is that part of my vocation?
Yes.
Yeah. There's an extended community there for me that I relate to, is my mother, my sister, and those folks. But there's, in a sense, a real sense of vocation that I bring to this community that's a part of my life. Now, do you associate that with being in vocation, you know, out into the world? And each of us has different content for that. Get the idea? Yeah. We have different content here, different content here. Is there another arena that would be a part of our being in vocation, in God's calling? What would it be?
The place where
the community.
Yeah, work.
let's try, this would be household. This would be like work. For kids, this is school. Some of us are students all our life. Or whatever it is, I don't like this term, retirement. It should be more transitions, but you know what I mean. That term communicates something today. But do you have a vocation to where you work or to go to school? So up here would be, I'm presently employed by the ALC. I work in an office downtown Minneapolis. There's some specific experience I have there, a major part of my week. And so that's a part of what I bring to this community. There's some that are students, kids in school and so forth. Is that part of our conscious vocation?
Yes.
Okay. What else would there be on this? If you want to put together a calling card, the agenda.
Your office and your place to work and the people you associate with to get your job done.
Yeah, that would be all a part of this one.
All right.
Okay.
How about neighborhood?
Yeah, neighborhood. Let's try citizen. What would be included in this? Neighborhood?
Town.
Town.
State,
nation.
Strangers.
World.
World, global, yeah. You start taking it this way. I mean, it's the close neighborhood. I live on a very specific block in the city of Minneapolis, Hennepin County, state of Minnesota, USA, global. Now, if we're conscious, a growing consciousness about saying that's part of my vocation, and I'm aware that. That this God who creates us all gives me now more of a sensitivity, a consciousness of how I experience the world out there, and I'm going to be listening or seeing differently. If this is my vocation from God, do I read the paper differently? Do I watch television differently? I tell you, I watched the papers in an entirely different way after I was in Brazil for a month in March about what was going on in Brazil, South America. Because I had a deeper sense of having some real people in mind. But then I began to realize that's only because I had the experience there. But when I say amen to being in God's vocation to the global community, those are also my brothers and sisters in other countries. Does it get to feel a little heavy?
Yeah.
Huh?
It's getting heavier.
We're not done yet, are we? Huh?
Well, we are. I was just thinking when you said the world, mm-hmm. at least I was affected by the earthquake in Mexico City.
Yeah, Mexico City, yeah. Yeah, that would be.
And I haven't been there, and I haven't worked right. there. I'm not really a close part of their community, but I was concerned about it.
Yeah. But to be, in a sense, reflect on being in vocation, having that be a part of your vocation, opens us, to seeing and experiencing in a different way. We're not a spectator in the world community because of our baptism. And because of our constant reminder out of the Christian community that in the action of God in Christ, that's brothers and sisters. One more.
Worshiping community?
Pardon?
Your worshiping community?
Well, I would assume that's the whole context of it here. But in a sense of vocation too, I would say that the earth or creation. I just don't think most all this other is overlapping in all these. But I just have a deep sense that we need to be much more conscious about having a vocation to care for the earth and the whole creation. I just think Joe Sittler's influenced me a little bit with that. There is a sense in which if we don't have a grounding of care for the earth, this other stuff just doesn't have the material to it. You know what I mean?
Also, it's a little more than just the earth, too, now, isn't it?
With I'm talking about that symbol.
Space exploration.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What if we use up everything before the children are born?
Yeah.
And the children to come.
Yeah. My roots are from the earth and the farm in Illinois. And so the farm crisis, in a sense, is a tug at me. But because of my roots, the land use is a real issue for me. I was in Germany in 1977 on a roots trip. My grandparents came from Ostfriesland. Ever heard of that?
Is that Norway?
No, it's Germany. Ost is East Frisia, basically. Up near the North Sea. And it's very flat because they built the dikes, and it's very flat land. But the Ostfriesians have a phrase that says, God made the sea and the Frisians captured the land from it. I mean, literally, because they put the big dikes out there and they literally pumped the silt out of the North Sea and put over the land and start farming. And so that's not being facetious. But because of that, my ancestors knew something about how you drain some rich land and so forth in East Central Illinois. But the care of the earth and land use is a particular agenda for me. Invocation. If you gather an intergenerational community and you work each week to remind each other of what is it that God has called us to be invocation about? Does that change the agenda for what happens in the rest of the time in this community? In other words, when you say you agree to this kind of content, does that change what happens in our community?
But this, it does.
Yeah. How do you think it changes? Yeah. If you started in the first 5 minutes when we get together, and you would each individually, you would fill in this stuff. Huh? Let's try it. Okay. And we would have to spend some time, making sure everybody had this content made known to this whole community over a period of time. We'd be getting together for each week. But just think, if you spent the first 5 minutes when you came together in a community and you reinforced what this was for you, let me ask you to individually take some time to think now. What would be, your name, right? Okay. Yeah. Think of one issue or one concern that you bring, say to Holden, about your care for yourself. Okay? Just think about that. Got it? Just think about that. How about do you have in mind who you would have in this arena over here? Huh? Yeah. Okay. All right. You have this pretty well in mind. Okay. How about over here? Is there a particular thing that's gnawing at you as a citizen? Huh? How about over here? Care for the earth. Okay? go ahead.
What's bugging me is I'm seeing conflicting things here. I think you first introduced the idea of a family intimacy. Uh-huh. And to me, that's hard work.
Yeah.
And then now you're doing all these other things, and I think, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to encompass it all? You know, especially in 2 hours a week.
2 hours a week.
Okay.
Yeah. First of all, it's important for you to be aware of what it is you bring to the community. That's the first. That's what I'm asking about. Now, I want you to just very briefly share with somebody next to you, if this isn't too personal, what this is that you bring, you know, to the community that you live in, which is your congregation, each week. You know, in other words, this is your name. These are the folks.
These are the folks in,
you know, whatever the household situation is. Over here, and over here. Be thinking about that. I'll tell you a little story. When I was in Green Bay, Wisconsin, I put together a clinical pastoral education program in a parish. What that was is really training pastors and seminarians in how you do pastoral care. Well, most of the time that training takes place inside the building. You know, how you preach and do all that kind of things. What I had these students do was go out in the community. Particularly, I was getting them aware as pastors and clergy that folks bring a whole different world to them on Sunday morning. And so I'd have them work just sit along a paper machine crew in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which was, you know, the Fox River Valley is paper country. Just to get a sense of what it's like to really work there. And I remember one guy particularly, I had him spend a whole day with a personnel man in a pretty good sized business in Green Bay. I knew the guy that owned the place, and I said, now I have this pastor, and I want to have him spend a day with somebody in your business that has to do a lot with people. And he says, I know the person, it's a personnel man. So I said, what I want this pastor to do, and I said, well, he asked me what I want. I said, I just want him to watch this guy work for a day. Not to try to teach him anything or anything like that, but just watch him work. I said, well, what do you want me to tell the personnel guy? I said, just tell him that this guy is, if it's okay, can he observe you for the day? Got the picture? Yeah. And that's all I told this guy. This is a seminarian, or a pastor. And so they spent the whole day together. At the end of the day, you know, the personnel guy said, now, what are you really here for? And the pastor said, I'm here to learn something about ministry. And the guy said, what are you talking about? Ministry. That's what you guys do. You know? I mean, you got the thing going. It was just great. He said, the pastor, after watching this guy for a whole day, he said, no. Because he asked, what did you learn? He said, how many people you talked to, the kind of decisions you made that impact on a lot of people, I never realized that what impact people like you have on folks, families all over the place. And the personnel guy was all excited. He says, you mean that's ministry? The personnel guy went to his pastor, the congregational pastor, down and says, hey, you know what I discovered at work today? That I'm a minister. Do you know what I'm trying to say? That pastor, I hope, will never forget and never assume that people, when they get together on Sunday morning or wherever they gather, bring a whole part of their life with them. Do you follow me? Yeah. I think we have a whole different consciousness about ourselves and about each other and what it is, what does it mean then for us to gather and reflect on our life as ministry? And what does it mean that we're in vocation? Let me try it now. Pair up and just share with somebody, not with a whole group, we haven't got that much time, but I want to have you do it briefly because I want to build on this tomorrow. Would you share, pair up, real quick, and just say my name, and you want to, I want you to just share, this is where I'm, these are the folks in my household, this is my name, this is where I work or wherever this situation is, and this is where my citizenship arena is, and this is my issue for the earth. Can you pair up somebody and just share that? Give you about 3 minutes, okay? If we can begin to picture in ourselves when we gather in the name of that Creator God, and it's not just my little private world. One of my worst experiences when I first started in a parish was on Sunday morning, not realizing how privately people come into the sanctuary, and that there's a sense in which we have, you know, that there's a tradition out of which we come as private, don't bother me on Sunday morning into this great big sanctuary. I think there's a real need for us as people of God living in the world that we do, to somehow be stretched to understand and experience baptism, not just for our private world, but that the only way it makes sense for us to understand that we are baptized into Christ, and that means into community, into a whole creation, a whole global community. And so for us to even begin to stretch when we gather in that name, to have a content, an awareness that not only are we called from community into the world, as then we gather from the world to be that body together so we can reflect on what it is that God's going to throw us back out there to do, so that we remember, each of us, clergy, lay, whoever, that we have a vocation to be who we are. That person that God really created us to be and calls us to be constantly from deep inside. Not to hide, not to play roles, but to be that person. To be that person, not just for ourselves, but to be full of who we are. And then be that person to those folks that we're in vocation to in our households. And that to be that person, whether it's in a school situation, to prepare ourselves for the kind of service in other arenas, but to do that in the workplace, to take seriously our vocation to citizenship, not just me and my wife and, you know, that kind of little phrases, but to be a part of a global community that is clearly, you know, there in our biblical witness, and to care for God's creation, the cosmos and all that is in it. Because I think in vocation is then a constant part of our life. Not just a beginning of when we get together, but it gets to be the empowerment picture from our baptism. That now we, when we gather in community, we're supported and encouraged and debriefed to be about living that out in the world. That's my cue.